Good morning. Welcome to Eastminster Presbyterian Church. If you are new here, we are happy to have you. If you're not new here, we're also happy to have you, especially because it's Memorial Day weekend. So thank you for being here. There are a few announcements. You can find them on the pink sheet in your bulletin, but there's a couple that I wanted to draw your attention to. The first is that on Tuesday, June 5th, the Women's Summer Dining Group is meeting at 7 at Los Ranchos in Casa View. The second is the CCC Quarterly Fellowship Luncheon is Sunday, June 10th. There is a sign-up sheet in your bulletin, so if you plan on going to that, please sign up. And then finally, Seniors Day Out is Friday, June 8th. It starts at 9 a.m., and we'll be going to the Perot Museum and then having lunch at El Phoenix. So please be aware of those. We also have a joy and a concern for today. Please hold in prayer Betty Crabtree. Her friend Jay Eldridge passed away 2 weeks ago, and she and Heather are traveling to Georgia later this week for his funeral. And we give thanks for the fourth birthday of John Sills' great-grandniece, Annika. She's turning four on May 30th.
Thank you. stand in the presence of God, sovereign of the universe, Lord of hosts.
The Lord is full of God's glory.
God's voice peals like thunder over the waters, the deserts, the forests.
The Lord is full of God's glory.
Do you hear the angels' loud praise and feel the shaking of the very foundations of this place? God's presence surrounds us, fills this very place.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of
hosts. You may be seated. Isaiah the prophet, confronted by a vision of God, said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Let us bring our prayers to the one who listens, and then forgives us with unceasing grace. Together we pray.
God, you know this world so much, and you send your own Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die among us, in order that we might have life. Forgive us for keeping that abundant life to ourselves, for jealously hoarding your generous gifts, for choosing self-interest over compassion and justice. Teach us what it means to live as children of the light, generously sharing your abundance with our brothers and sisters in need. Amen.
We have received the spirit of adoption. We are all children of God. We are loved, and God takes notice of us. When we draw closer to each other, God draws closer to us. We are forgiven, we are renewed, and we are restored. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us open our hearts in prayer. May the word we hear today be written upon our hearts and lived out in our lives. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah, chapter 6, the first 8 verses. Isaiah feels unworthy to speak in God's presence until the coal is pressed to his lips and Isaiah is purified. We are reminded through Isaiah's vision that God is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. But we do have a way of responding to God. Through our answering God's call, through our saying yes to God, to our saying, send me. We may not understand God, but God understands us and calls us into the world to carry God's message. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Here ends the reading of the Old Testament.
The gospel reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
have to tell you guys, Sherry told me I could preach from anywhere in the sanctuary, but like this is the prime spot right here. As I have finished my second year of seminary, I've come to realize that I really love learning. Parts of seminary are extremely challenging, juggling classes and work and homework and my dog, if you haven't heard about her, she's really cute, and pottery, and every once in a while, trying to be social is tricky. But I love learning. I knew I was called to serve God and that seminary was a part of that calling, but I didn't realize how much I would love this part of that call. I'm excited for what my life will look like after I finish seminary, but right now I'm trying to live as fully as possible into a saying my dad once told to my cousin, which is to stay in school as long as possible. So congratulations, you all get to benefit from this freshly acquired knowledge. Honestly, you're my home congregation, so I figured I should take full advantage of preaching today. You know me and my family, you love me, even when I'm not my best, and I know all of you, and I love all of you, even when you may not be your best. We are tied together, not just because I was raised in this church, but because we are all members of the body of Christ. Even when we don't like each other, even when our feelings get hurt, we are in this together. So today, I am going to take some time to share with you what I have learned about how and why we worship the way we do as a community. And if I do this well, which is the hope, it may even connect to the Isaiah passage where God calls Isaiah to be a prophet to God's people. And if it doesn't, you can definitely just lie to me in the receiving line at the end of worship. Pentecost with the speaking in tongues and fire and all the red was last Sunday, which means that this Sunday is Trinity Sunday, and next Sunday will begin the first Sunday of what we call ordinary time in the liturgical calendar. Trinity Sunday is this interesting break that rolls us into a time in the church calendar when many people go on summer vacation. Either they leave because school has just ended, but summer camps haven't started yet, or they take a break from church because they've earned it after a very rigorous and full spring. This is also a time in the church calendar when pastors step away from the planned lectionary readings to experiment with new passages, maybe offer a series of sermons on a particular theme that they feel the congregation needs to hear. So this Sunday is kind of like the calm after the storm that is Pentecost. Everyone kicks up their feet and catches their breath because Rally Day is in August, and that's going to sneak up a lot quicker than we realize. So this time, heading into ordinary time, is a lazy time. Not in a gross or slothful kind of way, but it reminds me of summers in New Orleans. It's hot and humid. You can't move too fast because the air is too thick. Evenings are best spent sitting on your porch as the smell of fresh jasmine drifts over on the occasional breeze. You take your time getting places. You just move slower because there's no reason to rush. The next day will be the same thing. Hot, humid, slow, and calm. Lazy. So it's a little jarring that we may have begun to shift down from a long, full spring. And this passage in Isaiah is conveying anything but that. Jesus and Nicodemus have some interesting conversations in our gospel reading today, but this Isaiah passage, man, it really forces you to listen. There are seraphs, or angels, and a holy throne, smoke, the presence of God, and finally, a coal placed on the lips of a man who is called to prophesy. There's so much going on that I had to read it a handful of times to catch the nuances. and I had to read it another handful of times to recognize how Isaiah's call mirrors our own call to worship together, even in ordinary time, even in the lazy, hot days of summer, even when the last thing we want to do is sacrifice a morning brunch with friends or time for coffee and crossword puzzles. Just as Isaiah was called by God, we are called by God to come sit in these pews together, to worship God together. How we worship together matters. Just as how Isaiah encounters and responds to God matters. Today, I want to challenge you all to see worship not only as a part of your callings individually, but also the call of this congregation as a whole. I'm not promising that an angel will come down and cleanse your lips with a holy coal, but I hope that as we walk through what we do in worship, you can find space among the prayers and the hymns, the scripture and the preaching, to hear God moving in this holy place, to know that God is not only calling each of us individually, but calling us as a community of believers. Just as Isaiah enters a holy space, trembling in awe of God's power as he gazes on God's throne, we also have the opportunity to intentionally enter into this holy place. Our worship service begins with a welcome and opening sentences that acknowledge that we are gathered here as a community. As Christians, we are called together. It's a good practice to pray and have a deep personal spiritual life, but we need more than that. We need a community, the community that God has called us to be a part of, the community that we are reminded of every time we see a baptism, the community that we remember when we partake in communion. When we come together at the beginning of worship, we are recommitting ourselves to this community. We are saying that, yes, some days are hard. Some days we argue about the color of the carpet in the parlor or get frustrated when someone sits in our usual pew, but we come together anyway. We know that it's not enough to listen for God when we are alone. We know that we are better together. We know that being a community who listens to God's call is vital to our faith. That is why we recommit ourselves every Sunday at the beginning of worship. In Isaiah's story, after we get the setup of God's throne, complete with angels with six wings and a house full of smoke, he immediately recognizes that he is less than God. Isaiah drops to his knees and he says, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah confesses his sins before God, recognizing that he is unworthy to be in the presence of God, much less called by God. Our confession that we joined in saying just a little while ago mirrors Isaiah's own acknowledgement of his sins. The confession sequence in which we confess our sins to God and to one another is our opportunity to recognize the ways in which we have failed. We are imperfect. Thankfully, God wouldn't have it any other way. That being said, God also expects us to acknowledge the many ways that we hurt God's creation, that we are not stewards of this earth, the ways we eagerly engage in fruitless Facebook arguments that rapidly devolve into name-calling, the way we idolize things over relationships with one another and with God, the ways in which we are unkind and ungracious with ourselves, the ways in which we allow our human squabbles to overpower the amazing gift of God's love that we have the chance to be reminded of, especially every time we walk into the sanctuary. Or, to put it more simply, the big and little ways in which we sin against God and against one another. Our confession of sin is important, but there's a reason we do it at the beginning. We aren't meant to wallow in our unworthiness. God doesn't want us to be miserable in our attempt to be sinless. Instead, God wants us to acknowledge the ways we fall short and be reassured that even though we may fail again and again, God's love is boundless, limitless, and full of grace. Every day, God expects us to try our hardest, to name when we fail ourselves and others, and to know that God's forgiveness is unending. Once we hear that God loves us and cares for us, that even when we fall short, God supports us, then we're ready to hear the word of God. In the same way, once Isaiah's lips have been cleansed, he's ready to hear what God has to say. All the pretenses have dropped. Isaiah has made himself fully vulnerable in the presence of God. He has admitted his sins, he has been forgiven, and now he and God can get to the heart of the matter. The middle part of our worship and the piece of worship that everything else revolves around is hearing the word of God through the Bible readings and through preaching. We can't do this at the beginning of the service because we aren't ready to hear what God has to say until we've acknowledged the importance of our community, we've confessed our sins as a community, we've been forgiven of those sins as a community. Once we've done that, then we are ready to hear God's word. So here is where I diverge a little from the Isaiah passage. In Isaiah, a single man is called to remind his people of how they've disobeyed God. This happens a lot in the Old Testament. The Jews, God's chosen people, are human, and therefore they sin. God gets angry and sends a prophet to remind them that they have a holy covenant with God and that they're not upholding their end of the bargain. Isaiah may have God and angels there to guide him, but ultimately he is called by himself to be a prophet, which can be a lonely path. A hard road is laid out before him. We are not Isaiah in that we are not called alone. Rather, I think we are called to come together as a community. What's amazing about our community of faith, about being a Christian, is that we're connected to one another. And not just the people sitting in this sanctuary, but through our baptism, we believe that we are connected to all the Christians that came before us, all those that are amongst us, and all those that will come after us. In many ways, we are a community that extends so much further than these sanctuary doors. We are reminded of that call when we make the commitment to get up every Sunday morning and worship together. When we gather in this holy space, we are taking the time to listen to what God has to say. We are better together. There's a reason we confess together, that we are pardoned together. There's a reason that we greet one another as a part of our worship, and there's a reason that we end our worship with a blessing for us all. God calls us to worship together because God also calls us to leave worship together. We are meant to go out into the world and share the good news of God's love, not just when it's easy or convenient or safe. Isaiah is a long book. Our reading comes from chapter 6, and there are 66 chapters altogether. And Isaiah's call to prophethood is really hard. But I will tell you this, we have a privilege that Isaiah does not. We get to be called together. We can support one another, and when we gather together every Sunday morning, we are reminded that God calls us to be a part of the body of Christ. Not the bodies of Christ, but the body of Christ. The last part of our worship includes us affirming that, yes, we are called. Thanks be to God. We may not be perfect people, but we are a called people. We are called even when we don't hear it. We're called even when it feels far off. We are called to be geologists and bankers and pastors and teachers. We're called to be lawyers and students and musicians. Some of us are called to help with the Saturday morning breakfast, while others of us are called to be groundskeepers and Sunday school leaders and session members. It's a big world out there, and God has made space for each and every one of us when we're willing to listen. Worship is a great place to start listening for that call. Our worship ends with ascending. Instead of thinking of our final hymn as the end of our time with God, I encourage you to see this as just the beginning. We are called to worship together so that when we go out into the world, we know that we come from a community of support and love. When we come and worship together, we are saying that we are ready to listen. So the next time you maybe feel like you've earned a break, or that you would rather have some more coffee, remember that worship on Sunday is more than just an hour out of your day. Worship is a call, and that no matter what you do or who you are all called to be in this place. Amen.
In our standing, in our saying, in our hearts, May we believe the faith we affirm this day together. What is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cross of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil. That he has me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, I have ever called for my name. Indeed,
gracious God, you have called us to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Keep us one in faith and service, breaking bread together and proclaiming the good news to the world, that all may believe you are love, turn to your ways, and live in the light of your truth. Today we give thanks for the life of Jay Eldridge. We pray for his family and for Betty as they prepare for his funeral. We also pray for Annika, that she may continue to grow, knowing your loving community. As we take a moment of silence, we reflect on the joys and concerns that we carry on our hearts. And now, let us join together saying the words of your prayer. We remember with gratitude the many ways that God touches and blesses our lives. God's holiness inspires us to be more holy. God's love causes us to be more loving. God's life in us brings to birth dreams and visions for a better and more just world. May we offer our gifts and tithes and our lives as a thankful response.
Let us pray. As we lay before you our financial offering, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Come bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen.
And now, may the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.